This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What did Shaquille O'Neal call today's generation of NBA players? Pudding pops. Not exactly sure what that means. I suppose there were other terms that he could have used, but on the Dan Patrick Show, he called them pudding pops. So I'm thinking they melt in the heat, they get mushy, they get soft, they get a little drippy.
They're pudding pops.
Maybe they cry. Pudding pops. I do like the chocolate pudding pops, but yeah, if you don't, if you put them under the heat at all, that there goes your substance. There goes the shape. It all just melts on the ground. I think that's what he was trying to say. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's been good to hear from so many of you this week, whether it's in response to our polls, whether you're telling me what you think of the radio show. Yes, your feedback is welcome. Though I would suggest that all negative feedback, all of your suggestions about what else I should be doing with the show or other topics that I should be covering or the mistakes that I make, all that should be directed to our show Twitter. Producer Dave can deal with those. Actually, I don't think that he deals with those. Just the show Twitter's good. It's the suggestion box. After Hours CBS. But you've been mostly kind this week. And I will say thank you again. I'm trying to spread out my thank yous. But thank you again for taking the time to read my new blog post and respond, because I know you have a bazillion options, clickbait all over social media. And yet you all have taken the time, many of you have taken the time to read my blog and to let me know that you not only relate to it or that it resonated with you, but that you appreciate me sharing a bit of my personal life with you. And it's never easy to do that. I'll be honest. Sometimes there is this kind of check in my spirit and I wonder, maybe I should keep some of this stuff to myself. But I think that's one of the great qualities that we have as human beings, is that we can use the tough circumstances, the difficult challenges that we faced in life, and by sharing those, by opening up about those, when we're through it and we're on the other side, we can then encourage other people who may be going through the exact same thing or something very similar a week after we are, or a month or a year. And so our experiences and knowing that we survived can then spur on others and remind them that, hey, this isn't where the story ends. You'll get through it too, and you are not alone. So I try to use my blog posts to that end, and I appreciate that so many of you have read it. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. We've got a lot coming up this hour from the football world. Now, remember, man alive, the middle of March gets uber busy in the sports world. It may not be quite the same type of spring calendar that we're used to for a couple of reasons. The NBA and the NHL postseasons don't start until later. In fact, producer Dave, if you wouldn't mind Googling when the NHL playoffs are supposed to start. I did see the schedule for the NBA has been pushed back to the point where the regular season isn't even ending until May sometime, May 11th, maybe somewhere in that area. And then the NBA postseason will start with that 7-10 play-in tournament before they get to their actual bracket. So the postseasons that normally begin in hoops and hockey, late April, mid to late April, depending on what type of a calendar they're on and how much time they took off in the middle of the season. The playoffs won't start until about a month later for the NBA. And as producer Dave looks it up, the hockey season doesn't even end until May 8th. And so it's not quite the same chaos as what we normally get. But what we will see in both hoops and hockey is that in April, so post-March Madness, right? So the Final Four is actually Easter weekend. It's the first weekend in April. Then you have the Masters right after that. And then typically we end up with NBA and NHL playoffs right about that time, the first rounds in both sports. It will happen about a month later, but instead, from the end of April into the beginning of May, you're likely to see all of those crazy finishes, the stretch runs, the sprint to the end of the regular season, so that teams can either lock up a seed for the postseason, or, as we talked about in the NBA, they're trying to get into that 7-10 play-in tournament. It's like a 7-10 split in bowling. And so the calendar shifted a little bit, but also what it does is that it keeps the playoffs on the horizon and on the calendar longer, right? So instead of crowning a champion in early June and you have a Stanley Cup winner and an NBA championship, instead you don't have an NBA finals series until mid-July. So you know it's kind of crazy. Normally in July, it's relatively quiet, right? We have Major League Baseball. We have the All-Star break in Major League Baseball. We end up getting some, and I don't know if this will happen this year, we end up getting some of the NFL training camps that start kind of third week in July and then later in July. So we start to get excited about those. Don't yet know if we'll have actual preseason games this year and when training camps might start. But either way, usually it's Major League Baseball, the All-Star break, and then gearing up toward NFL postseasons. But let's be honest, a lot of people take vacation in July because it's a much quieter time in sports usually. You have the Open Championship that takes place in golf, and you also have the Wimbledon in July too, I think, early in July. And so there are some sporting events, but it's a little quieter. It's a little easier to manage. I know a lot of people in my business take a break over that time, but not this year, because in the heat of July, these are the boys of summer. The NBA finals will be taking place the second and third weeks in July. And the NHL, while it won't be on exactly the same schedule, will be on a similar one. So the Stanley Cup champion won't be crowned until July either. So it's kind of odd. Not unlike the calendar that we had last year that was also completely out of whack, but that was because we had gone 3.5 months without any team sports. So remember, Major League Baseball came back the third weekend in July, and then you had the NBA that followed soon after. You had the NHL that started, I think, very beginning of August. And we had the bubbles, and we had the truncated baseball season. We also had every sport known to man operating at the same time once the NFL and college football got started right around Labor Day weekend. So it was insane. It's not going to be quite like that, but it definitely is going to be different. And your summer, if you're a sports fan or if you're a sports talk show host, is going to be busier than normal. So nobody better complain to me about how there's nothing going on. I don't want to hear it. There's always something going on. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, we're asking you, should, not will he, but should he be considered an NBA MVP candidate? We're talking about James Harden. Another triple-double for him. As the Nets go into Houston, Houston hung tough initially, but the Nets go into Houston, grab their 7th straight road win. I believe Brooklyn has also won 9 of its last 10, though the 76ers stay ahead of them in the Eastern Conference standings by a half game because the Sixers knocked off the top team in the West, the Utah Jazz. So Utah still has the best record in the NBA at 27-9. And get this, the Phoenix Suns have the second best record in the NBA at 23-11. And they've won 8 of their last 10. We talked about them a little bit earlier this week. The Sixers then are right there at 24-12. Nets at 24-13. which happens to be the same exact record as the Clippers and the defending champion Lakers. They're also at 24-13. So I think because of the various COVID protocols, because there are teams that haven't been able to field full rosters, you certainly have had guys who've been stuck in protocols. Now, I know Kevin Durant is injured currently, and it's also happening in the NHL, where teams kind of go through these strange rotations of players that are available and players that are not, because they're in protocols, whether they've tested positive themselves, which is a very small minority of athletes, or because they've been in close contact with someone who has. And in the case of the Toronto Raptors, they're barely able to field a team. We've talked about them now for a couple of weeks. They've had kind of this rotating door of guys who've been stuck in COVID protocols. That's what happened with Dennis Schroeder when he was unavailable for several games for the Lakers. So we know that that is what's happening and that it's a challenge for a lot of these teams, and yet they continue on. Houston's been in that same boat. They've barely had the minimum to play for a few of these games, but now they've dropped 13 in a row, and they are falling like a rock. In fact, other than Minnesota and Detroit, the Rockets have the worst record in the NBA. So what's down is up. What's up is down. 855-212-4227. I think I gave you that number once last hour, but want to throw it out there again. 855-212-4CBS. Again, the next big event, unless you're really excited about the NBA All-Star Game. I'm not. I never am, though. It's not anything new that I'm not excited about it this year. I don't typically watch the NBA All-Star Game. What I'll watch are the pregame festivities. They usually have some fun music, some entertainment. It's typically a crowd that is stacked with celebrities, and so I always enjoy kind of seeing who shows up at the All-Star Game. Let's be honest, the NBA usually throws a big party, but that's not happening this year. We just heard from Howard Beck of Sports Illustrated last hour. There aren't going to be any fans in Atlanta. The NBA has indicated that they don't want parties. Now, they can't stop people from showing up in Atlanta. They can't stop corporate sponsors from, well, I guess they could frown upon it, but they can't stop corporations from throwing a party or from having an event if that's what they wanted. That's what happened in Tampa around the Super Bowl. You know, in Florida, they've got looser restrictions. And just to make sure we tie a bow on that, there were absolutely no COVID outbreaks related to anything that happened during Super Bowl week, not even the crazy Tampa Bay Buccaneers boat parade, right? So in case you want to preach at me, don't bother, because Tampa looked at those numbers. The officials for the city and for the area have released those numbers. There was zero surge in COVID cases around the parties and the partying that was taking place at the Super Bowl. So back to the All-Star Game in Atlanta. The NBA can't stop people from showing up. They can't stop any periphery events from taking place, but they're not allowing fans in the arena. They're not selling tickets. This is the made-for-TV event that they call it. And they are raising money for HBCUs. Those are historically black colleges and universities. And I think the number I've seen is $3 million, which is amazing. A lot of them located in the South. And so it's an awesome way to raise money for some of these colleges and universities that no doubt have been hit hard over the last year, like many in our education system have. And so I appreciate that part of it. And Howard just kind of points out that it's all about the tens of millions of dollars that they make because the game is on TV. But I will watch it because I can't stand fake crowd noise. I'm over it. And because I really don't watch the game anyway, unless it's for the festivities, which they won't be having. The kicker would be if they had the national anthem remotely and someone's pre-taped it and they're airing it on the big screen and on TV, but it's not actually someone who's there in the arena. So yeah, just I'm good with the empty stands. I'm good with empty arenas. I'm ready to see fans back in the stands. And if in fact the president's prediction about every American who wants to be vaccinated will be vaccinated by the end of May, then I think that bodes well maybe for the NBA and the NHL playoffs, right? We are seeing some arenas that have fans in the stands, limited capacity. We're seeing more and more states and municipalities open up their events for fans, for people to attend. They're increasing capacity, especially for outdoor events. And so if it's the case that everyone in the United States is vaccinated by the end of May, who chooses to be vaccinated, then you would think for NBA and NHL playoffs that there should be full capacity crowds. Why not? If you are vaccinated and you get in, then you should be good to go. So I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to more venues that have fans. Looking forward to authentic noise. Looking forward to seeing sports come alive again with that atmosphere and that energy that comes with people being in the stands. So I'm excited about that. I hope it gets here or it returns sooner rather than later. But it is good to know that a lot of sports fans are looking forward to it. We already have a poll up, so I won't put another poll up. But maybe at some point, maybe next week, the week after, I'd love to know how quickly you plan on returning to an NBA game, an NHL game, maybe a baseball game that's outdoors. We'd heard earlier this week from the Alabama athletic director that they plan on having full capacity crowds this fall for the 7 home games at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Full capacity is 100,000 plus. I can't imagine they will be the only school in college football that will do that. I'm sure there will be others as well. Are you kidding? Other schools are not going to stand around and watch Alabama rake in all that money from tickets and not do it themselves. But again, if we've got all the Americans vaccinated who want to be, then it should be no issue. So I'm looking forward to that. And I've been to games under these current restrictions, just on a press pass, and it was weird and it was eerie. And I went only because I needed to know what it looked and sounded like from inside the stadium. But I am looking forward to it. I've said I would go and buy a ticket. I would go and sit in the stands immediately. That risk seems pretty low to me, so I wouldn't have any trouble going. And I know I've seen some of you post on our Facebook page or some of you send me tweets about how you can't wait to get back in the stands. And that'll be kind of cool, right? We don't just operate as sports fans. I don't stick to sports. You don't stick to sports. It's a part of our life. It's not our entire life, our entire lives. But as sports fans, we share our passion for the games and for our teams. I think we also share a passion for kind of soaking in the energy and seeing these dramatic moments. And they're much better when there are actual people sitting there, not just cardboard cutouts. So I'm looking forward to that. Maybe by the time we get to the World Series, whatever stadium we happen to be in, I don't think they're going to need a neutral site this year, but at whatever point we're talking about the World Series matchup, it's going to be great to see those night games and people freaking out again. I need to see people freaking out again. All right. So, and football season seems like it should be a no-brainer. So that's awesome too. Gives me something to look forward to as a sports talk show host. I'm going to go as soon as I possibly can, just because I feel like for me, it will be full circle. It will be, all right, exclamation point. This is life as we knew it. And I'm going to enjoy it. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, you can vote in our James Harden MVP poll. Not will he, but should he be considered a candidate given the big picture? And straight ahead, we're going to pivot and dive into some football because we've got some good stuff from a lot of general managers around the NFL. So in Arizona, in Green Bay, in Minnesota, we've even got the Jets talking about Sam Darnold. Kind of, I'll put that caveat in there because they're still not giving us much information, and Cleveland. So let's start there. A lot of people want to know whether or not Baker Mayfield is going to have a new contract extension or a contract extension, or what the Browns might do about the fifth-year option on his rookie deal, which is where he is right now. And typically, this is how franchises save money. They pick up the fifth-year option on a rookie's contract. Now, does he make a lot more money in his fifth year as a first-round pick? Of course he does. But does he make as much money as he would if he signed a big boy quarterback deal? So we'll start with Cleveland. You'll hear from Andrew Berry, and then we'll kind of work our way around the NFL because there's a lot happening. So it's good stuff. We're just now 13 days away from the start of the new year. Happy New Year. So, yeah, I said enjoy it while it lasts because we're talking Selection Sunday, the NFL league year, all kinds of March Madness right into the Masters in April. And before you know it, we're going to be talking about Grammy Helen's 99th birthday. Or I will be.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hunt in the backfield. Hooper now goes down tight to the line. Harrison Bryant motions back into the backfield. Mayfield from under center. Play action fake. Bootlegs it out to the right. He's throwing down the right sideline. He's got Peoples-Jones wide open. He's gone. 20, 10, 5, touchdown! 75 yards on one play.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I miss football. That made me miss football. Baker Mayfield to Donovan Peoples-Jones for 75 yards. Remember that moment, Browns fans, NFL fans? Jim Donovan on the Browns radio network. And, of course, they've got questions to answer in the offseason. Definitely wanting to boost the defense. They were in the running for J.J. Watt. It did not happen. So they've got to move on to other options. Now, we're still waiting. Still, what are you waiting for, NFL? We're still waiting to find out how low the salary cap will go. How low can you go? It can't go any lower than the floor, which has been raised. That sounds funny. It can't go any lower than the raised floor, which is now around $180 million. But certainly the Cleveland Browns, they've got some question marks, some ways that they'd like to improve. But everybody's waiting right now because we don't know what that salary cap will be. And when we spoke with our salary cap expert and former agent Joel Corey last week on the show, what he said was every single front office, every single general manager and his team right now have multiple plans. If the salary cap is $180 million, this is how we play it. If the salary cap is 182 mil, these are the moves that we make. But until we know for sure, we're starting to see a move here, a move there, but it's a big holding pattern right now. We saw that Golden Tate was released by the New York Giants on Wednesday. It was Kyle Rudolph, 10-year tight end for the Vikings, who has been informed of his release in Minnesota. Kyle Van Noy, who you would think would have multiple offers, surprised by the fact that the Dolphins are cutting him loose. So there are a lot of moves that will be made based on salary cap and based on money. But you know what you always have to do? You have to take care of your quarterbacks, right? Do you jump the gun and try to get your young quarterbacks that are currently still under their rookie deals signed to a long-term extension now, where you might have to pay the signing bonus now? It's a sticky situation. Think about not just the Browns, but the Bills with Josh Allen and wanting, of course, to lock him up. He's their franchise QB, and I think it's pretty clear the Browns are on board the Baker Mayfield train too, but how do you handle the salary versus using that fifth-year option on the rookie contract and taking advantage of the fact that it's still a rookie deal? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Cleveland GM Andrew Berry talking to the media and anyone who will listen on Wednesday. And, of course, Baker, the number one topic. Will his fifth-year option be picked up?
Yeah, I think you know me well enough that that's not something that I'll really talk about publicly. You know, we've been pretty consistent with our messaging around Baker that we think he had a really strong season for us. We like the maturation and the growth both on and off the field. And we're looking forward to him continuing to take steps, his second year in the offense.
Kevin Stefanski's offense, of course, and it certainly helps that the Browns ended their playoff drought. They hadn't won in 17 attempts, right, in Pittsburgh, and they go into hostile territory and they wrestle the black and gold. In fact, just deflating the black and gold with was a 28-0 first quarter. That was still crazy. But their first playoff win in 26 years. Baker Mayfield plays well, especially in that first half. The three touchdowns, no picks. And while you do have the risk anytime that you give a player an extension, so here are two good examples. Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. Going back to the 2016 draft, when it was Goff and Wentz as the top two picks of that particular draft, they had massive contract extensions a couple of years ago. In fact, at the time, they set records, the richest extensions in NFL history. And neither one of them is with the team now that gave him that extension. And we already know what the Eagles are doing. They're taking a $34 million cap hit in a year in which the salary cap is dropping. They're willing to eat $34 million, probably 18-19% of their salary cap space over a guy who's not even on their roster. That's how bad it got. So yes, giving quarterbacks, any player, but quarterbacks are the most expensive, giving them contract extensions before you have to is a risky proposition because there's no predicting the future. Now, the other side of that is if you don't give this guy a contract extension, think about the Dak Prescott situation now in Dallas and how it's exacerbated. It's getting tenser and tenser. They haven't been able to come up with an agreeable deal, whether it's about the number of years. Maybe now it becomes about the amount of money. But he's already been franchised for one season. If the Cowboys can't work out a deal, they're going to pay him roughly $40 million in 2021. And they still don't have a long-term deal. Do you want to get in that kind of a back and forth with Baker Mayfield? No, probably not. But it's the devil you know and the devil you don't know. So if you are willing to take a risk, roll the dice with the current quarterback on your roster, if you wait to lock him up to a long-term deal like the Cowboys did, maybe you even go the franchise tag route, the farther down that path you walk, the less likely it is that you're going to get market value, right? Because the farther down the franchise tag path you walk, the more money the team is paying. Maybe not in guaranteed salary long-term deal, but you're paying through the nose for a one-year contract. So that's down the road for both Cleveland and Buffalo with their young QBs. But I'm telling you, neither franchise wants to get to that point where the Cowboys now are with Dak Prescott. Andrew Berry, again, talking about Baker Mayfield and the hopes they have for him moving forward.
Like all of our players, we want to see them take strides and show growth as we go into year two within our offense and defensive systems. I mean, look, Baker is the first quarterback, and you guys probably know the years more than I do. That's led this organization, led this team to the playoffs, a playoff victory. He's endured an enormous amount of adversity in his young career, just quite honestly, with the changes that he's gone through with coaching staffs, front offices, offensive systems, and he's risen above it all. And so I think we all saw him grow from week to week to week last year, and we expect him to continue that progress and have a fantastic 2021 season for us.
His passer rating hovered right around 94, 95 when you consider the postseason. 3,560 yards in the regular season, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Those were his passing stats. But again, big picture, Browns got to the playoffs. They had double-figure wins. They won the wild card round on the road. And I appreciate the point that Barry makes, which is he's had a revolving door of bosses, a revolving door of coordinators, a revolving door of playbooks and systems and voices, and he's had to adapt and be flexible his entire time in the NFL since he was drafted in 2018. So with some stability, with some consistency, how much better can Baker get? How much better can the offense get? How much better can the Browns get? What happens with him in this offseason, though? That still remains to be seen. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I know Browns fans have asked me, should the team give him the long-term extension now? My answer generally is I wouldn't this season. I would pick up the fifth-year option, and then I would move forward and work on that deal, get it done before you get to the franchise tag route. But with the salary cap dropping, I do think you have to consider finances and the fact that the team has some other needs as well. But I'd love to hear from you. Again, Twitter or Facebook, and then our phone number is 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. While we're talking about quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins, what's his future in Minnesota? And what's the plan for Jordan Love in Green Bay? Let's look at the NFC North a little bit. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Bob Uecker.
If you don't wear brown and orange, you don't matter.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Cousins under center, first and 10 from the 11. He passes over the middle. Caught Jefferson. Reaches for the end zone. Touchdown! Justin Jefferson with his second National Football League touchdown. It's 23-6 Atlanta.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Paul Allen on the Vikings radio network. Kirk Cousins to the rookie Justin Jefferson, who had a fantastic debut season in the NFL. But the Minnesota Vikings faded. Looked as though they were going to earn themselves a playoff spot as the second team out of the NFC North. But when push came to shove, it was the Chicago Bears who ended up at 8-8, while the Vikings faded to 7-9 and missed out on the postseason, even with the expanded playoff bracket. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Cousins actually threw a career-high 35 touchdown passes in 2020. That's versus just 13 interceptions. There's been talk about the Vikings yet again. Should they upgrade? And of course, we obsess over quarterbacks. Is that the problem? I can think of a few other problems. Number one being the fact that they need consistency at that running game all the time. And yes, Dalvin Cook can be magical. He can be a whiz. He can be a beast. But they've got to have that type of consistency all the time. When there is a run game, yeah, it's just like the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry. It takes the pressure off of the quarterback, and he can do what he does best. And so quarterback is not the major issue with the Minnesota Vikings. Mike Zimmer not happy with their defense down the stretch. And yet there's talk about Kirk Cousins and his contract, which I think is interesting. Now, here's his contract status. Not only is he under contract for 21, but get this. 3 days after the new league year starts this March, as in March 20th, 3 days after the new league year starts, his salary for all of 22 becomes guaranteed. So if he's on the roster on March 17th, and there's no reason to believe he won't be, if the Vikings still have him on the roster on March 20th this year, not only is his 21 salary guaranteed, his 22 salary, which I believe is $35 million, also becomes guaranteed. Don't quote me on the $35 million. It might not be exactly that. But they're not getting out of that. If it's guaranteed money, Kirk Cousins is going to be the quarterback. And that's exactly what General Manager Rick Spielman said on Wednesday.
I know there's a lot of rumors floating around out there, but Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We felt that he played very well and probably the best he's ever played down that stretch last year and the way he played. So, Kirk's our quarterback going forward, and look forward to him another year in his system. And excited for him and what he's going to bring to our team next year.
He is our guy. according to the Minnesota Vikings, despite the fact that, per the usual, with every quarterback in the NFL, there is speculation, rumors, especially this offseason, about a trade or about the team upgrading, quote unquote. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I just quick did a search while we were listening to Spielman. It is, in fact, $35 million base salary for 2022. So not this season, but next season, that becomes fully guaranteed if he's still on the roster March 20th. In 2 weeks, if he's still on the roster, which he's going to be, unless Spielman's lying, then he's guaranteed for this season as well as next season.
You like that?
He definitely likes that. And actually, if you're an NFL team, $35 million for your starting quarterback isn't terrible. I mean, I get it. You all balk at the numbers, but fairly soon, the going rate for quarterbacks will be over $40 million. Per season. Now, I don't know that it'll happen as quickly as what we thought it might. I don't know that, for instance, Dak Prescott is going to get Patrick Mahomes' money. I think the market is going to regulate and is going to auto-correct. Ha ha, too many of you. You don't use auto-correct. It's going to self-correct because of the lowering salary cap, but also because in 2021, even if we do see full capacity stands, so full ticket gate at every stadium in the United States, which should be possible if we're all vaccinated by the end of the spring. But if we do see that fans are back in the stands, yes, the NFL will see a boost in its revenue, but there will also continue to be some fallout from this season, from some of the deferred money and the decisions that the league and the Players Association made to try to get through the pandemic. So you're not going to see immediately, unless, of course, the NFL renegotiates all of its TV contracts and there's this mass influx of money, this influx of cash. Well, then maybe the salary cap bounces right back up and actually increases. But what we've heard from various front office types is that the economy, and I think it'll be this way for a lot of corporations, will be slower to come back. And that's going to affect not just this year, but also next year for a lot of sports leagues. So they will be slower to recover than what they might normally have been in a down year. I think the NFL will recover more quickly than a lot of sports. A, it's outdoors. B, they didn't see their ratings decline nearly as much as every other sport, really every other genre on TV. People still have a voracious appetite for the NFL and for football in general. So I do think that the league can recover. Plus, as I say, there's renegotiating for these different TV contracts that's already underway. You may have seen that Monday Night Football is likely to stay put, and ABC is actually going to have a Super Bowl somewhere down the road, which hasn't happened in years. And so because of that, what will be an infusion of money with new TV deals, the salary cap will jump back up. But teams still have to tread carefully and tread lightly. And the economic impact, the fallout from this past year, let's just say there aren't preseason games again. So there's one way in which the economic platform for the NFL isn't quite back to what it was, their base platform. So there are ways that teams still need to be careful. I don't know if you're going to see every starting quarterback who signs a new deal get more than $40 million. And last night when we talked to Lawrence Holmes from Chicago, I was teasing him about the Bears not having a quarterback. And he mentioned, well, they could bring Mitch Trubisky back. If you missed that conversation, it was great. It's on our podcast. I put the link up on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and it's also on our Facebook page. I was teasing him about Mitch Trubisky earning $40 million. And he said, well, he laughed. And then he scoffed and said, no, the whole point of him not having a contract right now is that his agent is free to test the waters. But when he doesn't get a massive offer, because he won't this offseason, well, then the Bears can get him for cheaper than what they would if they were going after a big name free agent, which there aren't actually that many big name free agents. The higher profile quarterbacks, at least right now, are only available via trade. You don't have any big name free agents beyond Cam Newton, who has informed us, of course, that he's not 33rd worst in the NFL. He's definitely in the top 32 and should be a starter. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, the Vikings were 7-9, but Kirk Cousins threw 35 touchdown passes, a career high, and stands to make $35 million in 22 as long as he's on the Vikings roster come March 20th of 21. All right, we're going to squeeze in one cut with general manager Brian Gutekunst of the Green Bay Packers, and he was asked about what his team is focusing on at free agency.
A lot of that will be determined over the next few weeks as we kind of figure out this puzzle and decide on some of our own guys, which is always kind of the first step. But I do think if the right particular player is out there and we think it's the best thing for the Green Bay Packers, then we'll be able to do it. We won't be able to do a lot, and I do think that there's certainly some restrictions, but if the right guy's there, I think we'd be able to do what we need to do.
And that's really the story for a lot of teams out there, right? They were hoping to get J.J. Watt, though I don't know whether or not he was in the – or that he picked them in the final group, even as a Wisconsin native. He did tell us how much he enjoyed the weather in Arizona when he woke up there on Tuesday morning. But so I don't know whether or not the Packers were among the finalists. But they say they will be able to go after a player, a particular player, if they want him. They'll be competitive. They'll be in the market. But when I was listening to Brian, I was thinking, you know what? That's what a lot of GMs have to say right now. That's the reality. We have, and this only applies to teams that are not already over the salary cap. We have some money to spend. We don't have a lot of money to spend. We've got to be really careful about who we pursue and how much money we commit, what we do with our own roster, how we take care of our own players. And it's a lot tighter, a little uncomfortable, much more than usual. It's going to mean tough decisions for a lot of franchises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.